Turning your Bibles to the book of Numbers. I know you don't hear many sermons on Numbers, out of the book of Numbers. It's not one of my favorite Old Testament passages either, but there are some truths there, and I want us to look at some of these here for a moment. So if you would turn to the book of Numbers, starting with the 13th chapter. Now, there's a lot of references here that I'm not going to read all of the different chapters, but really chapters 10 to 21 kind of tells a story. And the story is about the children of Israel going through the wilderness, going to the promised land. But in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, I'll start with that, and I'll make reference to a few other ones along the way. But in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And out of those 12 spies that were going out, there was Joshua and there was Caleb. We know those two. Then the other 10, we don't hear much about them anymore because they came back with a negative report. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But as we think about going through the wilderness of wanderings, or wandering through a wilderness, we don't have that in our day and time. We don't deal with that. But yet, in some ways, we do go through some type of a wilderness, so to speak. Would you be willing to walk through a unknown jungle if someone knew the way? Well, we don't know where jungles are. I've never been in a particular jungle per se. But a number of years ago when I used to hunt, I went hunting with a guy, and we were going into a very thick forest, and we were walking together, and all of a sudden I said, you know, I hope you know the way back to the truck, because I absolutely don't know where I am. He said, the truck's right over there. I said, where? I don't see a truck. And it was probably within 50 feet of where we were. But he knew exactly where it was. Well, I'm glad he led me through, because otherwise I'd have been in trouble. But another time, when I lived in Alaska, and I had gone hunting on a snowmobile, and it was snowing, the ground was covered in snow, the sky was gray, you could not see where the mountains were, you could not see even the sun, it was daylight, but in the wintertime, you got to understand, you don't see the sun for part of the winter. And so we didn't see the sun, it was gray, and we're riding along, and I absolutely did not know which direction I was going. You couldn't even see the trail because the trail was blown over with snow blowing on the trail. And I asked the Eskimo with me, I said, I hope you know where we're going, because I don't have a clue which direction is north, south, east, or west. He said, trust me, Pastor, just follow me. Well, he got me home. Otherwise, I'd be frozen out there on the tundra somewhere. But as we think about journeys through wilderness, and not necessarily a thick forest, but it's easier if there's someone there to guide you through and to walk you through. Now, if you're walking through an unwelcomed or an unwanted place in your life, and some of you probably are, then we need to learn some lessons from the children of Israel. We're not walking through a jungle. They weren't walking through a jungle, but they were in a desert wilderness. And we can learn some things, what to do and what not to do, from the book of Numbers. Most importantly, their journey teaches us how to walk with God and let God walk with us. The thing I want you to know or to understand from this passage is, if he leads you to it, he's going to lead you through it. And he meaning God, okay? So if he leads you to it, he will lead you through it. And that was true for the children of Israel. And it's true for each one of us as well. The children of Israel didn't trust God to lead them through it. But the question is, will you or do you trust God to lead you through that wilderness experience that you might be going through? So how do we get through our wildernesses in life? Not a jungle out there, not a forest, not even a snow-covered tundra, but we have those wildernesses that we are going through or may be going through right now. Well, the first thing is we have to believe what God says. In Numbers chapters 13 and 14, God takes them to the edge of the promised land, and he's ready to keep his word that he had given to Abraham many years before. But are they ready? Well, you would think they would have been ready, but they weren't ready. God said he would give them this land, but they did not want to believe him. Now, if we notice three things that we must do to believe what God says, then the first one is we have to see the possibilities and not the problems. But it's easier for us to a lot of times look at all the problems and go, I can't get through this. But let's look at the possibilities. In Numbers chapter 13, I'm going to start reading at verse 26. Now they departed, that being the spies, and they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. Now they had picked up fruit. Moses had told them to do that. And there's one passage, not in Numbers, but there's one passage where it talks about the grapes that they brought back were like the size of a grapefruit. Those are big grapes. And so in verse 27, then they told them and they said, we went to the land where you had sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there. Anak was a giant, and so they saw giants there. Remember, the average Hebrew was a short person. And so here are these big giants that are there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell in the by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. So here they are. They see all these different people, the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Perizzites. They didn't see any Perizzites, but I like that one in there anyway, because in a sense they were kind of a Perizzite. But in chapter 14, you see that they were not listening to God. They were not paying attention to what God was saying. But in chapter 14 it says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices, and they cried, and the people wept that night. They cried that night. Verse 2 says, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has this Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. You know, it's interesting that this was in the Old Testament, and in a sense, this is what our nation is thinking even right now. Why don't we return to the way we were doing it last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Why don't we return to that? Because they were comfortable in that. And the children of Israel were comfortable where they were, and they didn't want to be out there in the wilderness. They'd rather be back in slavery in Egypt. They needed to have some confidence in God, just like we should have confidence in God today. The second thing is to be God-reliant and not self-reliant. Back in chapter 13, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. They're stronger than we are. They had forgotten all that God had done. They had forgotten about the plagues in Egypt that God had done. They forgot about that when they left Egypt, the Egyptians actually gave them their gold and silver to take with them to get them out of their hair. They had forgotten about going through the Red Sea. They had forgotten all the things that God had done for them. In the midst of the wilderness, don't be self-reliant. In other words, relying upon yourself, but be God-reliant. If He leads you to it, He's going to lead you through it. And then the third thing is to act on faith and not fear. Act on faith and not fear. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 through 10, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we pass through to spy out is exceedingly great land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, the land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. So the last thing of the three things is to act on faith and not on fear. You see, now they wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. They were afraid. They heard the stories of these giant people and these fortified cities, and we can't do this. I had an uncle, one of my dad's brothers, was named Dewey. He was not a real tall guy. He wasn't even a real big guy. But he was a man that trusted in the Lord, and he was also an amateur boxer. And one day, this big, muscular wrestler challenged my uncle. He said, oh, I can beat you easily. And my uncle said, oh, yeah, you want to prove that? And so they got into the confrontation, and in three moves, my uncle had knocked him out. Three moves. And he was much smaller than the big guy. He was not as powerful in his arms. But he had three moves with his fist that he knocked the big wrestler out. Remember, when God leads you to it, He's going to lead you through it. So believe what God says. Then another thing that I see in this passage is to accept His daily provisions. God has been providing daily bread, which was manna, that would fall from heaven every day. And they would go out and they would pick up this manna, which was kind of a bread. And the people got tired of God's daily provision, and they wanted something different. They wanted something better. Now think about, what is your favorite restaurant that you like to go to? Now my favorite restaurant would be Chick-fil-A. I like chicken sandwiches. I like their chicken nuggets. I like their chicken strips. I even like their chicken salad. And I could probably eat Chick-fil-A every day for a week. But eventually I'm going to get tired of eating chicken. And I'm going to want something different. Well, here the children of Israel, they had this manna that would fall from heaven. They couldn't pick more than what they needed each day, except on Friday. They could pick for 2 days because the Sabbath they were not allowed to go out. So they could pick. But if they picked for 2 days during the week, it would go bad. But they got tired of that. They wanted something different. They wanted more. In fact, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, it says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Now later on, we see that God provided quail for them to eat, so they would have meat. You see, God provides what we need, not what we want. If we got everything we wanted, everything that we wanted, and God gave it to us, probably most everybody wouldn't be here today, because well, why should I go to church? You know, I got this nice house, I got this nice car, I got a nice boat, I got a nice camper. I need to do this, I need to go there, I need all this. Why should I go to church? Why should I fellowship with other Christians? I don't need anything. I got everything I want. So God doesn't give us everything we want, but He gives us what we need. If He leads us to it, He's going to lead us through it. But it may not be the way we want it to. You know, a lot of times we get to praying about something that we want to pray about, and God doesn't answer. And it can create a negative thing to us. He's probably answering, but it's not the way we want it to be answered. We pray for someone who's sick and they don't get well. Well, you know, I guess God didn't hear my prayers or something. That may not be God's will. It may not be what God wants. You see, as we need, not before we need it. Manna was indeed a daily bread. You know, Jesus talked about Himself as being a daily bread. Manna is a picture or a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus said of Himself. Jesus even said, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now Jesus says, just like God had provided the bread in the wilderness, He would also send bread again in the person, in a form of a person from heaven, and He was referring to Himself. John 6:32 tells us, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. How are we supposed to make it through each day? Every day they had to go out and pick up that manna. Every day they had to go out and pick it up. How are you supposed to make it through each day? Every day, rely upon Jesus Christ. Every day. You got facing a problem. Give it over to Jesus. Let Him worry about it. Let Him take you through that situation. If He leads you to it, He's going to lead you through it. And our daily provision of manna reminds us of the daily sustenance that we find in Jesus Christ. You know, as I mentioned in our prayer time about my friend Natalie that I met about a year ago, and she broke her ankle. You know, she was talking about, John, I would really like to hear your message today. And of course, we'll let her hear that. But is your life empty? Is it troublesome? Do you hunger, not necessarily physically, hunger and thirst? Maybe hunger and thirst physically. There's only one thing that can satisfy, and that's Jesus. You know, without Jesus, boy, we'd be living in a messed up world. Then the third point of this passage is to obey God's commands. Obedience is not very glamorous, but sure is effective. You remember when you were a kid and your parents told you to do something and you didn't want to do it? You know the consequences if you didn't do it. We may not be teaching our kids that today. I hope some of you are. I know some of you are. But later on in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter, we know God wanted them to obey, but they would not. In Numbers chapter 20 and 21, the people disobeyed. They disobeyed God. And even Moses disobeyed God because God told him one time, said, speak to the rock to bring forth water. And he strikes it with his staff. Well, the water still came out, but he disobeyed God. And he had to pay the price for that. The story of their hard-heartedness continues. Look in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 and following. It says, then they journeyed from the Mount Hor to the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt? I mean, that people complained all the time. Boy, if I was God, I'd have just zapped them, but I'm not God. So, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread, meaning the manna. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If the serpent had bitten anyone, when they looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So the people disobeyed, Moses disobeyed, and the story of their hardness continues. Now, picture Moses making this staff or this pole, and he's putting a serpent on it, and it's bronze. And even today, we see the story of healing symbol in the medical profession, because you've seen that where there's two serpents wrapped around a rod. You see it on an ambulance, the same symbol that we see here, picture, in one sense, in the book of Numbers. Now, the medical use of the story reminds us that humanity's disease is sin. Humanity's cure is Jesus. That's the only one that can cure us of our sin. The story of the picture is a picture of Jesus on the cross. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So the idea of Jesus being on a cross, it reminds us pretty much of that same story. If you look at the serpent that Moses would hold up, they would live. If you look to Jesus and trust and believe in him as Lord and Savior, you will live. The Bible tells us that. If you want to be healed of all that ails you, there's only one place for salvation, one place for pardon, one place for forgiveness, one place for peace, and that's the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All throughout the Old Testament, God points people to the cross. Throughout the Old Testament. We can see that in the Garden of Eden, when God said to the devil, "He will bruise your heel. You will bruise his heel. He will bruise and crush your head." It's pointing to Jesus. When Abraham sacrificed his son, or was about to sacrifice his son, God will provide. God provided a sacrifice through Jesus Christ. In Egypt, when the children of Israel were to leave, if they wanted to survive the death angel coming, they had to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. I've been seeing these clippets coming on social media about that old Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston, and I remember that they would paint the blood on the doorpost, and when the death angel came, they would not lose their children. Since the beginning of humanity, God has been pointing people to Jesus. And the sad thing is, many people aren't trusting him. We talked about it in Sunday school today, that Muslims and Hindus, that they don't know Jesus. And we mentioned also in Sunday school, and this should be a prayer request, 70 people in the country of Congo, in Africa, Republic of Congo, I think it's called, they were in church, and Muslims came in and decapitated 70 Christians in the church. Hopefully that would never happen in America, but it could. It could possibly happen. So since the beginning of humanity, God points people to Jesus. And he uses us sometimes. Remember, I've said it over and over again today, if he leads you to it, he's going to lead you through it. It's not just a reference about how to overcome stress or to endure a bad day. We all have bad days. We all have stressful days. It's how to make it through this life to the next life. Are you going to let God lead you through this life into the next one? We don't know when that's coming. Hopefully nobody's going to die anytime soon, but anybody in this room could die tomorrow or today. Are you ready? Have you ever acknowledged Jesus as your Lord in your life? I hope so. But if not, or if you're uncertain, you can settle that today. You can talk to me or talk to me in private afterwards. It doesn't matter. If he leads you to it, he will lead you through it. And the way he does that is through Jesus Christ. I've heard people over the years that are not Christians, that are of another religion, say, I just can't accept this Jesus Christ. I struggle with that. A Muslim one day told me in Australia, he said, you have three gods. I cannot understand three gods because we only have one. I said, no, we have one. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He said, no, that's three gods. I said, it's one God, but he presents himself in three different ways, but it's still one God. Know Jesus. He'll lead you through the wilderness. The wilderness may be loss of a loved one. The wilderness may be loss of a house. The wilderness may be someone with cancer. The wilderness may be someone with other medical problems. The wilderness may be an elderly family member that's getting close to death. The wilderness can be many things. It can be different for each one. But Jesus will lead you through. I heard a testimony yesterday, and you know the story. You've heard it many times. It's the story of the footprints in the sand, and it's always a beautiful story, and I'm not reading it the way it says. I'm just going to highlight it. I noticed that every time I was walking along, there were two sets of footprints. You were walking with me. But when I went through those troubled times, there was only one set of footprints. Why did you leave me, Lord? The Lord said, I didn't leave you. I picked you up and I was carrying you in my arms. That was my footprints because you were in my arms. He leads and he guides you through whatever wilderness you're going through. Just trust him. Just like the Eskimo told me, trust me, Pastor, I will get you home. Jesus, we trust him, he will get us home every time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for being our Lord and our Savior through Jesus. Lord, thank you for walking with us through the storms, through the valleys, through the wilderness. When we get turned around, we don't know where we're going. You're still there, leading us and guiding us. Father, if the children of Israel had just listened to you, they would have been in the promised land a whole lot sooner. But they thought they knew it all themselves, and they complained. Lord, we can be in your kingdom right here on earth, but we know that one day we'll be with you in heaven. And what a glorious time that's going to be. But Lord, help us, teach us, guide us, and direct us to trust you, to walk with us through the wilderness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.